Welcome back to In the Moment. There is a difference between science and science fiction, of course, but the two converge at events like Comic-Con. At the Denver Comic-Con this summer, real scientists included three students and a lecturer from the physics department at the School of Mines and Technology. They wore costumes, diving into the Comic-Con environment that includes fans dressed like characters from Star Wars, Star Trek, and superhero fiction. But they gave a presentation titled Shedding Light on Dark Matter and Dark Energy, drawing on their education and expertise working in conjunction with the Neutrino Lab at LEED. These events are held on six continents with dozens of conventions every year in the United States alone. Hundreds of thousands of people attend. The Denver event drew 115,000. So all these fans of science fiction are exposed to a real science education. SDPB's Victoria Wick sat down with three of the School of Mines presenters to talk about art imitating life and life imitating art.
Was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait,
if you're a fan of the Big Bang Theory, you know all about Comic-Con. Those science guys are drawn to San Diego like bats to Carlsbad Caverns. In one episode, Sheldon Cooper can't find anyone to go with him and tries to convince his girlfriend, Amy.
I'm not going with you to Comic-Con.
Well, maybe what's in my pants will change your mind. It's a list of this year's panelists.
Those panelists Sheldon speaks of might be movie stars and TV celebrities, but many of them are real scientists talking about real science. At Denver this year, some of the real scientists came from South Dakota. School of Mines lecturer Michael Dowding, recent graduate Joseph Petrus, and graduate students James Haston and Daniel Moore. Their topic was dark matter and dark energy, a trendy concept these days. On The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper gives up on string theory and switches to studying dark matter.
Well, I've been struggling for months to come up with a theory of dark matter that doesn't make protons decay.
What he said there is a real thing. I looked it up.
We attempted to inform the public on what dark matter is. Short answer, we don't know.
Daniel Moore says dark matter is invisible, its existence proven only by the gravitational effect it has on visible matter. He says the Mines panel made those points.
How we are searching for dark matter, why we know it exists, how it interacts with the universe that we do observe.
But Moore says even though scientists don't know what dark matter is, they know what it is not. And what it is not is often portrayed in comic books, in movies, and on TV. Star Trek is a frequent offender. Various episodes feature a dark matter nebula, a dark matter asteroid, and a dark matter life form. But Star Trek isn't alone. In one episode of Futurama, dark matter is a fuel for starships. In another, it's a substance that can cause male penguins to lay eggs. In other fiction, dark matter gives humans super abilities, makes spaceships invisible, imparts evil, mutates living beings. It's very handy and very dangerous at the same time. Daniel Moore says it's just entertainment.
If I go to the movies, if I go to a science fiction movie, I have to pretty much shut off the science portion of my brain.
Science and pop culture is not always accurate. In fact, these guys say it's probably more reliably inaccurate. But James Haston says impossible science is a plot device that keeps the story going.
People want that sort of inaccuracy. They want Dr. Xavier to have this group of X-Men with superpowers that obviously none of us have. But people want their belief to be suspended. You know, that's the whole idea of escaping reality.
Haston says whether fact or fiction, pop culture brings science into the minds and imaginations of all ages.
You have a lot of publicity dealing with dark matter, dark energy, and that breaks over into math, and people are becoming a bit more interested in some of those things.
He says that interest has expanded to real-life scientists, the subjects of a slew of movies, including Hawking, about Stephen Hawking, The Imitation Game, about Alan Turing, A Beautiful Mind, about John Nash, and Hidden Figures, about Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson.
With the science fiction, you have Gravity, you have a lot of different movies that don't exactly portray reality. There are a lot of movies that are being produced now that are very realistic. You have The Man Who Knew Infinity about Srinivasa Ramanujan. Amazing movie. I loved it thoroughly.
I absolutely love the superhero space movies. I walk into the theater with no expectations, and so I'm never disappointed.
Michael Dowding calls the scientific falsehoods filler, but he agrees that the comic book crowd can benefit from it.
The current mission of Comic-Con now is education through pop culture. One of the first means of that education was getting children to read through comic books. There's become an incorporation of education, whether the kids know it or not. The authors and the artists are sneaking in math and even some social issues.
That incorporation of real science education at Denver Comic Con made an impression on Daniel Moore. He watched a computer simulation on the placement of the planets in our solar system.
If those had formed at their current distance from the sun, they would still be forming. They should not be fully fledged planets yet. They actually formed closer in, and then they showed this very interesting simulation involving harmonic oscillation that caused the planets to push out very rapidly at a certain point.
It says something for the authenticity of the presentation when a graduate student in physics says he learned something new.
To watch them all get pushed out and watch all the asteroids get thrown around at that point was very, very educational.
Right now, what we're seeing in science fiction may be filler, but if you go back 40, 50 years ago, a lot of that filler is now becoming reality.
Michael Dowding makes the point that today's fiction might be tomorrow's reality.
You have things that showed up in Star Trek, like a flip communicator, which 35 years later turned into a flip phone.
Scotty, energize.
Perhaps another piece of reality in these scenarios is that the transporter doesn't always work.
We can't make transporter contact, sir. The entire system's inhibited. The way it is now, we couldn't beam up a fly.
Oops, sorry. I don't know how that fly got in there. That's one strong transporter beam. The Back to the Future series shows us some possibilities, most notably when Doc Brown stuffs garbage into a flying car for fuel, and Marty McFly uses a hoverboard when he's trying to outrun the bad guys. Michael Dowding says that last one still has some bugs to work out.
Hoverboards, they do exist. They're nowhere near as easy as what Marty McFly had. Some of them catch fire from videos that I've seen.
Science fiction has predicted a host of later inventions. Flat-screen TVs, voice activation, iPads, earbuds, GPS, Bluetooth headphones, surveillance cameras, floppy disks, interactive news feeds, USB drives, and debit cards replacing currency, among countless others. The fiction might inspire innovation, but Michael Dowding emphasizes that science takes time, and it operates on fact, not on opinion or belief. He says scientific results come about after a process of experimentation, collection and analysis of data, and peer review. That process would probably rule out the role of dark matter in causing male penguins to lay eggs. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in Rapid City.